Copper wire and various sizes of piping were taken. Investigators believe it happened between 5 p.m. Monday and 6 a.m. Tuesday. Police are still investigating. If you have any information, contact Foley Police. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Just a small chance of an afternoon shower, mostly sunny with a high near 94. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 95 degrees. Just a small chance of a stray sprinkle. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 72 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. Our next news at 6:30 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Insights the top 10 out-of-state markets being Atlanta, Georgia, Birmingham, New Orleans, Nashville. What I want to point out about this is we were not even advertising in Atlanta several years ago, and now it's our number one polling market. We've done a lot of activation, a lot of advertising in Atlanta.
This is Santa Rosa County, the Tourism Development Council meeting. Very interesting insights into what is shaping tourism visitation here to Pensacola. And, of course, they're talking about Navarre Beach primarily. But you might have heard her say there that, you know, Nashville, New Orleans, but Atlanta. Atlanta was not something that they were even considering advertising to, and then they started, and now it's like the number one source of visitation to Navarre Beach, which is just kind of interesting to think about. What markets could you go after in terms of enticing people to come here and spend their money?
And Nashville, if you'll remember, most of you sitting on this board will remember when we started discussing Nashville just a couple years ago. So we really started pumping money into that market. We've done activations there. We've done a lot of press stuff there, so now it's paying off. We're seeing that come through.
And a place that you, it's a little bit funny to hear this, okay, but a place that you would not have expected is also a source of lots of interest potentially as they're just kind of exploring the possibility of advertising.
If you look at Orlando, we've also discussed that being like an emerging market the last few years that, remember, I was kind of a little hesitant about, but Paradise said it is one of our emerging markets, so we put a little bit of money in there to test it. So this proves that the search traffic on our website is coming from Orlando, Nashville, Tampa, Jacksonville, the places that they told us that we really needed to start looking at. So these are really good insights.
You tend to think of Orlando as a place you go to, right? I mean, you know, because all the stuff that's in Orlando. And she's like, well, you know, people who live in Orlando need to vacation somewhere. Let's see if we can get them to come here Why not? I mean, that, you know, it's an interesting theory because you just, I like the creativity of thinking about places that wouldn't ordinarily strike as an opportunity for tourism marketing. Also, the value of many of the articles that have been in place in magazines or online publications.
The PR highlights. We have had some great stuff wrote about us. If you haven't had a chance, there's 192 articles, total estimated ad value of, my goodness.
Wow. That's a big number.
Yeah, we're doing really well. I'm really proud of the efforts that Paradise, the PR team, does for us. And we couldn't obviously do it without them. Next slide, please.
Maybe if those that don't see that, that was $14 million in advertising.
So. Yeah.
Wow. So the value of the ads, value of the articles that have been written about Santa Rosa County and Navarre Beach, that was Jeff Snow sits on that board, City Councilman Jeff Snow, $14 million. You know, that's okay. That's money you didn't have to spend because you managed to accomplish it in a different way. 6:13 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Monday of this week, you had the Santa Rosa County Commission did a little bit of recognition for kind of a cool story.
Last year, Gulf Breeze, there's a number of parents and students decided they wanted to try to have a beach volleyball team. And they approached Dr. Barber, the superintendent, about the idea. And she did what good leaders do and said, you know what, I'll get out of the way, let you guys proceed and get it going. So they put it together.
So they put it together and they got this, kind of team going. And then, of course, we know the tremendous results. This is Colton Wright, County Commissioner.
Whereas Gulf Breeze High School Lady Dolphins varsity beach volleyball team achieved within the program's second year an undefeated, untied season, a first in the school's more than five decades of history. And whereas the sport is self-funded through community support, where funds helped construct courts at the Gulf Breeze Recreation Center, and whereas the team won the Florida High School Athletic Association State Championship on May 12, 2024. And the squad also earned the number one ranked spot on Max Preps, which named the team its 2024 national champions. And head coach Chelsea Kroll and assistant coaches Ted Gorder, Olivia Hepworth, and Cliff Ragsdale have sacrificed their time and devoted their energy to the startup program.
It's such a great story, the idea that they are the national champions, their second year in existence, right?
And the 2024 team roster included seniors Riley Bloomberg, Addison Tolbert, juniors Izzy Beach, Carmen Ferguson, Addie Green, Delaney Rich, and Bella Satterwhite. And sophomores Kaylee Bell, Bella Keolium, I don't know if I said that right, Colby Coolbaugh, Summer Hall, Allie Hepworth, Peyton McDonald, Estelle Reese, Sid Sutter, and Raina White.
And so you finally had the actual proclamation of the celebration of the championship.
And Santa Rosa County recognizes the dedication and unparalleled work ethic exhibited by the ladies on the team that represent Gulf Breeze High School. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that it is a distinct pleasure and honor to congratulate Gulf Breeze High School Lady Dolphins Varsity Beach Volleyball on their momentous victory in the 2024 beach volleyball season.
It's a great story. I love celebrating wins like this. It's wonderful. Again, only their second year in existence, so kudos to the Lady Dolphins for Gulf Breeze High. And again, this kind of ties into the whole Juana's conversation about how those girls learn to play at Juana's, and, you know, which is not in, I mean, geographically not the same, but, you know, a lot of them live in Navarre, or at least, you know, maybe live in the vicinity and can, you know, school choice opt into going to Gulf Breeze High in order to play a sport, which is, you know, that's a relatively recent change as well. So 6:16 here on News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has got our traffic for us. John?
That's right. Seeing if you're on Highway 29, just at Tejar Drive all the way down to Jordan Street heading northbound, we're seeing some delays there. Also, East Milton heading eastbound, got some delays associated with that. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. No issues there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
If you've got a nice import, a BMW, a Mercedes, a Porsche, a Genesis, Jaguar, a Lexus, these are vehicles that, you know, you pay extra to get. You might think you have to pay extra to service. You don't. You know, you can take them to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. You do not have to take them to the dealership. You might think you have to, but you don't. There's actually a federal law protects you against having to do that. It's a decades-old law. It's been on the books a long time. Because, you know, dealerships used to kind of, like, make it seem like you had to go to them, and that's they put this law on, so you didn't have to go to them. That's exactly the point. Bobby Likas works on these cars all the time. They work on your domestic engines. I mean, you know, Chevys and Fords and GMs, that's fine. They work on diesel engines. That's a little bit different, okay? But they work on those. Gas engines, obviously, no problem. The website is carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car. The idea is to take it to them more regularly for the preventative maintenance, so you don't have to take it to them for the big catastrophic breakdown. You know, if you go to the doctor enough, then you hopefully shouldn't have to go to the ER. That's kind of the idea. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wolverines!
Be my woman, girl.
Be your man.
Be my woman, girl.
Be your man.
Yes, I be your woman. Yes, I be your man.
Good morning, 620 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sometimes things I see on social media, they just make me laugh, like this one. It's a picture of a variety of dinosaurs, and the caption just says, the dinosaurs didn't rule the earth. They were just alive. Stop giving them credit for administrative skills they almost certainly did not have. That's pretty good. That's funny.
Come on, man.
Yeah, 620. You know. Have you seen the old bus terminal over on US 29 by the McDonald's? You know, the one that's been closed and boarded up now for a little while, and it's moved over onto 9 Mile. So what they had in front of there was they always had a, like, what I would describe as a level one chain link fence around the perimeter. No big deal. They've now put in permanent, I think it's 8-foot chain link fence and a barbed wire around the whole building. Yeah, like, stay out we shoot.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's really serious. It's really robust. And it looks like, I didn't look at all that detail, but it looks like instead of just sitting on the ground, like they dug holes to put the posts in. I mean, right. Like, this is for real. So I didn't know that it was such an eager thing for people to be trying to get into there to cause problems. But anyway, I saw that yesterday, and I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough. 621 on News Radio Pensacola, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, as many as 100 pro-Palestinian protesters have now barricaded themselves in a building at California State University in Los Angeles. This is one of those protesters.
We've been urging her to come out and negotiate with us. She refuses to do so. She would rather stay in the building. We don't want her in the building.
We want her to come out and negotiate with us, or she can go home and leave.
She's talking about the university president, Berenika Johnson Eanes. Apparently, they're wanting to talk to her. And they say that several employees are reportedly trapped inside of that building, which is now barricaded.
It's unfortunate that the employees or the other people are sort of confined within because of the actions of these hooligans. Because my first thought is, so they've barricaded themselves inside a building. Can we not just leave them there a while?
Yeah.
You know, cut off the power, cut off the water, cut off the, you know.
Cell phone jammers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And just, you know, just wait them out. You know, they'll get tired eventually and they'll want to go to their parents' basement and eat food or something. So go ahead, David.
Maybe loudspeakers and play Christmas music on a loop or something for a while.
There you go. No, no, no.
No.
All Mariah Carey over and over.
Or the Macarena.
There you go. Go ahead, David.
State police are now investigating in Illinois after three sheriff's deputies were shot during a standoff. This was in Ogle County. They say they got a call from a homeowner who said her adult son was having homicidal thoughts. When the deputies entered the house, gunfire erupted. Apparently, two of the deputies have been treated and released, but a third is in surgery. And NBA legend Jerry West has also died at 86 years old. West was a standout player in the 60s and 70s for the L.A. Lakers.
Yeah, and it's still, I guess it's still a not known whether he was the body image for the logo. You know, there's people who say that he was. I guess it's an unconfirmed allegation that he was the image of the player on the NBA logo. So
we'll never know.
We'll never know. We can fight about it for a good 8 seconds on talk radio every once in a while.
There you go.
There you go. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. That's my phone number. If you want to text me about anything or ask any questions or disagree, you're always welcome to disagree. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great source of good quality, almost new cars, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices. The thing that this completely surprised me. Like, I mean, I knew our station advertised for them and Dave Ramsey's talked about them, but we didn't go there for that reason. We went there because they had a car I wanted to test drive. And the price was so good that we couldn't not buy it. Like, we would have been stupid to not buy this car. But then they contacted me 6 months after we bought it and made sure that there wasn't anything wrong with it. And I'm like, why, you know, why are you bothering me? I already bought a car from you. You know, like, that was my reaction. And Calvin's like, no, I just want to make sure everything's fine. That's our sales guy, Calvin. I said, yeah, everything's fine. Goodbye. And, you know, he called me again in 6 months. So a year after we bought the van. And he said, is there anything wrong with the car? And I still had that same kind of like, what are you calling for? But I was like, well, one of the keys doesn't work. You know, the fob works fine, but the physical key, if we ever needed it, which you don't, but if we did. And he's like, I'll bring it in. We'll fix it. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I bet you will for $150. And I said, so how much would that be? He's like, oh, no, it's on us. I'm like, oh, well, I'm coming right over. So I went. It took them about 5 minutes. They cut me a key. I had it. We've had it ever since, and that's it. Who does that? Who sells you a car and then a year later calls you to offer to fix something that wasn't right with it to make sure that you're happy a year after you bought the car? I mean, Frontier, they're the only one. I've never heard of anybody doing stuff like this. But I know that they want to make sure that we're so happy that we never think about going anywhere else for a car. And so that's where I'm at. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Let's see. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. If you're in Pace trying to head to Pensacola right now on Highway 90 through that construction, seeing some slowdown there. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. No accidents to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that, John. Oh, hey, coming up in a few minutes, we're starting a new, it's a short series, okay? But it's, I had a chance to go out to the Scambia County Sheriff's Office firearms training range yesterday, and I did things that make John Pickens jealous of me.
No so, fair. I was like, you didn't even take me.
Yeah, I know. But you had to go. I didn't even take my boys. I actually didn't know what I was going to be able to do when we got there. I didn't know if I'd just be observing or anything else. But so 6:35 will tell you what I saw and why it's very the agency is just impressive. That's all there is to say about it. The agency is very, very impressive. And I'll tell you about that coming up in about 10 minutes. For now, this is it's a case that I haven't talked much about. I kind of mentioned it in passing last week, but I think there's a really interesting case going on at the Supreme Court level. It's not being heard by the Supreme Court, but I think that it will eventually be heard by the Supreme Court. It's a Florida case, and it has to do with whether you're entitled to a jury of 12 people. Because in Florida, you only get a jury of 6 people unless it's a capital trial. And this is one of those things, like, even as I'm telling you this right now, if you didn't know that already, you might be thinking, what do you mean? Every jury is 12 people. No. most juries are 12 people in most of the country. There are a couple of states, Arizona, Connecticut, Indiana, Massachusetts, and Utah, and Florida, that have six-person juries some of the time. Now, in Florida, it's almost all of the time six-person juries, except for capital trials, where it has to be 12. But the question is a six-person jury constitutionally adequate or not? And there's a woman who was convicted and sentenced 8 years in prison by a jury of six people, and she petitioned all the way to the Supreme Court saying, look, it's out of Palm Beach County. It was aggravated battery and retaliation against a witness or an informant. She was accused of going to the home of a confidential informant after her cousin's arrest for selling cocaine and didn't leave after being told to do so and proceeded to stab the informant in the arm. And the Supreme Court has upheld six-person juries, and that's the case currently. The six-person jury was upheld in a 1970 ruling, Edwards versus Florida, which said that the Constitution didn't require a 12-person jury. But you have at least one Supreme Court justice, Neil Gorsuch, who says that's not good law, because basically the idea of the Constitution guaranteeing you right to trial by jury was always 12 people. And that this ruling in the past that allowed there to be a six-person jury, what he wrote is kind of interesting. In Williams v. Florida, the court in 1970 issued a revolutionary decision approving for the first time the use of six-member panels in criminal cases. In doing so, the court turned its back on the original meaning of the Constitution, centuries of historical practice, and a battery of this court's precedents. Before Williams, this court had said it was not open to question that a jury should consist of 12. He goes on, really, given the history of the jury trial right before Williams, it was nearly unthinkable to suggest the Sixth Amendment's right to trial by jury is satisfied by any lesser number. Yet Williams made the unthinkable a reality. In doing so, it substituted bad social science for careful attention to Constitution's original meaning. Pointing to academic studies, this is Gorsuch talking about the 1970 ruling, pointing to academic studies, Williams tepidly predicted that six-member panels would probably deliberate just as carefully as 12-member juries. So they based it on the idea that theoretically a six could do as good as a 12. But almost before the ink could dry on the court's opinion, the social science studies on which it relied came under scrutiny. Soon the court was forced to acknowledge empirical data suggesting that, in fact, smaller juries are less likely to foster effective group deliberation and may not produce as reliable or accurate decisions as larger ones. Respectfully, we should have granted review in Ms. Cunningham's case to reconsider Williams. In the years since that decision, our cases have insisted repeatedly that the right to trial by jury should be no less today and afford no fewer protections for individual liberty than it did at the nation's founding. Repeatedly, too, our cases have warned of the dangers posed by the gradual erosion of the jury trial right. Yet when called upon today to address our own role in eroding that right, we declined to do so. Worse still, in the last 2 years, we have now twice turned away thoughtful petitions asking us to correct our mistake in Williams. If there are not yet four votes on this court to take up the question whether Williams should be overruled, I can only hope someday there will be. In the meantime, nothing prevents the people of Florida and other affected states from revising their jury practices to ensure no government in this country may send a person to prison without the unanimous assent of 12 of his peers. If we will not presently shoulder the burden of correcting our own mistake, they have the power to do so. For no less than this court, the American people serve as guardians of our enduring Constitution. Agreed. 12 is what it should be.
Fox News. Ms. Foster, President Biden and other world leaders are at the G7 summit in Italy.
President Biden will sign a security agreement today with counterpart Vladimir Zelensky, and he'll attempt to battle through legal red tape over the use of frozen Russian assets. This year's summit has several invited outsiders, including Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Pope Francis, who arrives on Friday. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Former President Trump's back in D.C. today, meeting with House Republicans in the morning and senators in the afternoon. The annual congressional baseball game in D.C. is a blowout.
The Republicans won 31-11 for their fourth straight victory. The game was expected to raise $2 million for approximately 45 Washington, D.C. charities.
Fox's Jill Morgan. 8 climate change protesters were arrested after running onto the field at Nationals Park. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, 72 degrees right now across the area. Santa Rosa County judge will be listening to arguments today between Milton's mayor and city attorney. Mayor Heather Lindsay addressed the lawsuit filed against her by Alex Andrade during Tuesday's city council meeting.
I unfortunately have to tell y'all as taxpayers that there are quite a bit of documents that have been filed, hundreds of pages by city of Milton's attorney. I'm still reading everything so that I can try to be prepared to answer the judge's questions. There's discovery that's been sent to me. I've already produced all the records, I believe. I'm double-checking.
And Lindsay said she was disappointed the city did not provide an attorney to represent her, and she wasn't able to afford her own because she'd recently been fired from her full-time job as Pensacola's assistant city attorney. Last month, the Milton City Council had authorized attorney Alex Andrade to file the lawsuit. He alleges Lindsay has intentionally not complied with public records requests. Escambia County Sheriff's Office says two more drug houses have been closed down. In a video posted on Facebook, Sheriff Simmons said that the drug houses were raided on Teakwood Circle and 50th Avenue near Fairfield Drive.
This is about 3 kilos of fentanyl, and this is over 5 kilos of methamphetamines. Fentanyl alone, as you know, very deadly, and this is enough fentanyl to potentially kill hundreds of thousands of people.
Simmons also showed off about $60,000 worth of cash, jewelry, shoes, and sports memorabilia that he says the suspects had purchased with drug proceeds. Simmons identified LaMarcus Brown as one of those suspects. He's charged with trafficking in fentanyl and in meth. Governor DeSantis signing the new state budget yesterday. He says he trimmed about $1 billion through line item vetoes.
A little less than what we did last year because I thought it was important. And I told the speaker that we want to hold the line.
And the spending plan comes in at $116.5 billion. According to the Tallahassee Democrat, the largest veto item was $26.2 million that was supposed to go towards UWF's new science and engineering building. The city of Pensacola said the $14.2 million for the old Baptist Hospital campus, airport expansion, and Babe Loves Park survived the veto pen. And the weather today disrupting plans to tear down the scene of a deadly school shooting in Florida. The 1200 building at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland was supposed to be demolished today, but that's on hold due to heavy rainfall. Tony Montalto lost his 14-year-old daughter Gina in the shooting. He says it's a conflicting time for the families.
My son does not want the building to come down. He feels that people will forget about the tragedy. My wife said she's grown a little bit attached to the building.
And the building where 17 people died served as evidence in the gunman's trial. There's no word yet on what it'll be replaced with. It is 6:35 almost at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. If you're traveling on Palafox and Fairfield, we're seeing some major delays heading northbound and also on Fairfield Drive heading westbound. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. Just a minor delay if you're coming from Pace on Highway 90 through the bridges. Minor delay there. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thank you, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Just a small chance of an afternoon shower, mostly sunny with a high near 94. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 95 degrees. Just a small chance of a stray sprinkle. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 72 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio, Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Boeing has told the Justice Department it did not violate a deferred prosecution agreement after fatal crashes involving the 737 MAX. The agency had found the plane maker failed to design, implement, and enforce a compliance program to prevent and detect violations of fraud laws throughout its operations after the mid-flight blowout in January. Federal Reserve officials said despite cooling inflation, the agency expects to cut interest rates once this year. The policymakers' forecast for one rate cut was down from a previous forecast of three because inflation remains persistently elevated. The policymakers held rates between 5.25% to 5.5%, which is where it has remained since July of last year. Futures are mixed. The S&P 500 in record territory. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 35. The NASDAQ up 264. That's your money now.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is tomorrow at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
All right, so I know you know that as the sheriff's music for Sheriff Chip Simmons, and this is related to him. Because yesterday I had a chance to go over to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office shooting training range, and there was so much stuff that I saw and learned yesterday that I'm going to share it with you over the next couple of days in this time frame. So I just want to get right to the kind of the conversation that I had with Lieutenant Drew Hilgren. Hilgren, I was going to say his name wrong, and Sergeant Josh Hendershot. I'll just tell you this. The trainers and the staff that the sheriff has in his agency are, I mean, top notch. There's just, I mean, fantastic. And I was so impressed with their professionalism and their capability. And I mean, what they could teach me in very, very quick amount of time that I did not know and had wrong. Anyway, so just kind of giving you an overview of the range, which has, I think, about 50, 40, maybe shooting stations and, you know, a large open field that has a bunch of, you know, targets, and then to the side, there's other targets for other purposes, but, and there's several buildings, some of which they have just recently added.
Lieutenant Andrew Killigan, good first name?
Sergeant Joshua Hendershot.
And in the background, you can see we got some training going on. It's about to get loud here in a minute. So this facility has been here a while, but it's been recently upgraded, right?
Yes, sir. We just did a large overhaul, remodel of the area. As you can see, there's some of the older buildings, but they've been revamped and cleaned up and brought up to kind of this century type thing. And as you're seeing the larger building in front of you now, and
I don't remember that one from before.
As you can see, the sheriff stepped up and he got us a new tower, which also moves into a training facility that we utilize for entry training, scenario-based training, and numerous other things that we can accomplish in here. We can bring vehicles in, we can control the light, we utilize video. It just really takes it to the next level of scenario-based training while they're here at the range. They may run guns out here, but they learn to make good decisions in there, which is really what the concept of a lot of this stuff is.
Great.
And so again, there's several phases of this training. We'll get to all of this, over the course of time. But, we're outside right now, and I just want you to be prepared that we're outside with 26 cadets downrange that are getting ready to make some noise. So that will happen in the background of when I'm talking to him.
Over here is a classroom. This is a tower, and that is a facility over there.
Mm-hmm.
These are the bays that are utilized by all the agencies along with Escambia County. Has several in here, along with George Stone, Pensacola Police Department.
As part of the various training academies,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. And then they also, all these agencies utilize this range.
Yeah, like all kinds of law enforcement in the panhandle, right?
I think it's about 32 agencies utilize this range along with us.
Okay.
And we've got our range master, Greg Brebischer, that is full-time out here that helps and assists us in managing the range on a day-to-day basis, along with all these other agencies that come in. So we have a lot of the federal agencies,
mm-hmm.
the local agencies, and then state agencies that also utilize the range. And then we put on outside classes where we bring instructors in also so that we don't just have the same inside knowledge, that we're always bringing in new ideas from other areas to try to broaden.
I never heard so many weapons racked at the same time. That was kind of an interesting sound.
So this is our version of Georgetown, so it was pretty cool that the sheriff and chief stepped up and got us our own academy, so now it's...
I mean, I'm trying to do an interview here, guys. It was an interesting sound to have them all racking their service pistols, all at the same time. Anyway, back to the interview.
Stepped up and got us our own academy, so now it's we're basically inoculating these guys to the Escambia County custom some ways from
mm-hmm.
day one they come in. They know what the expectations are, and we groom them and get them a little bit more accustomed to the way things are going to be instead of, hey, you're here, and now let's change your mindset to what this is. It's a seamless introduction from day one all the way through their training up to the time they get in a car with a FTO to where they go out to the road and then become a deputy on themselves. So now it's just a seamless type deal. What you're seeing there is...
It's a lot easier to train them right from the beginning than to retrain them after they've learned some bad habits, right? Or learned habits that are different from what you want them to do.
Well, really,
and that's such an important piece. Like, previously, the sheriff's office would take in people from all over the place who had been trained in all kinds of ways. And now that they're doing their own in-house training for quite some time, and with the new facility, they're really doing all kinds of training, they can train them specifically to be Escambia County Sheriff's deputies. So there's then no transitional period of teaching them general and then teaching them specific. They can teach them from the beginning what they want them to know, which is a fantastic improvement over the time it takes and of the consistency of the quality the output.
And the biggest thing about that is when you have the ability to do that, at the end of each lesson or each block, they have the ability to learn not only FDLE state statute government-wise,
uh-huh.
right, but we also have the ability to put our own personal spin with policy, procedure, everything else as they finish each block. So by the time they finish, not only have they completed all the required curriculum, but now they have the ways in which we deliver that,
okay,
so that they're more effective, cutting down time on the back end of FTO training,
okay,
other issues like that. So it's been a huge benefit to be able to have that here and to be able not only teach them curriculum but to put our own spin on it.
FTO, by the way, is a field training officer. That's when they're sitting in a car with somebody getting sort of shadowing. You might think of this as riding around and getting their final series of training before they're actually riding on their own. We'll come back to this in a second, but like I said, we're going to do this over several days because I learned so much, and it's a really interesting thing to understand the process of, how do you manufacture a sheriff's deputy? It's a process, mm-hmm. and it starts from assuming they know nothing, and if they know nothing, great, we can teach them our way, and if they know something, well, we may have to correct some of these things, but that's the point. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by Indeed.com, making the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit. Starting to see some, let's see, if you're traveling on Creighton Road and Davis Highway, starting to see some backups there on Creighton Road heading westbound. Also on 9th Avenue, seeing some delays right there in front of Pensacola State College. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, just in case you didn't catch it, that there are, what I forget the number, said 30 or 40 different law enforcement agencies that come train at this range. Like, we are the training facility for them, and especially now with the new, you know, what they have built in the last couple of months is, you know, fantastic. Anyway, so how long does it take? What's involved? How many people are going through, like, in the background, these 26 or so cadets or trainees, sorry?
And by the way, this is a Escambia Sheriff's cadet class that's going on here. What is behind us right now?
So this is the recruit class. So
okay.
This is an academy class. These are all individuals that applied with the sheriff's office.
Okay.
And they are in their first phases of firearms training for their academy. So this is going to lead them to them taking their state exam.
Okay.
Be certified as law enforcement officers, and then they'll go through the field training and evaluation program where they're graded and they're in a car with a deputy and they're taught the way things are on the street. So
okay.
This is all the course material by the state. It's run in-house by the sheriff's office.
That's great. And it looks like it's about, what, 30 people, something like that, going through this?
26.
26, okay.
26.
Very good. And how long does this course take?
Roughly 5 to 6 months.
Yeah, 770 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But in addition to that, with the development of new teaching and other things that surround it, we're able to implement that. So they're getting a minimum 770. We're actually giving them a whole lot more when it comes to scenario-based training, mm-hmm. real-life experience, those kinds of things. And the benefit to some of those that even have, some of those were cadets prior to becoming in the academy. So
okay.
When they transferred over, they were already out assisting and running cars with traffic. They were writing reports. They were working the front desk. They were already assimilating small, minute, non-criminal actions that law enforcement would take to help
okay.
alleviate some of that role, but further their development.
That's great. That's great.
So that's just kind of the outside, the intro, the overview of this process of training. And, you know, on the one hand, it's, 7 months is a long time. On the other hand, it's, you know, not really that long at all to, you know, produce a law enforcement officer. But that's the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Like I said, we're going to take you through this over the next couple of days because I thought it was incredibly interesting, not just to see how the process works, but also to go through some of it myself. Sometimes I did better than other times. Just put it that way. They were very kind and they were very corrective through this whole process. So we'll be doing this for the next couple of days. And, you know, I will tell you this. I've always been impressed with Sheriff Simmons. I've always been impressed with Andy Hobbs and Tommy Leiter and, you know, the folks that I have known in the sheriff's office. This is a like first rate world class sheriff's agency. And I just can't say enough about them. So, you know, if you're interested in a job in law enforcement, man, I'm telling you, you know, a lot of places are struggling to recruit. They're selecting from recruits now. Like, they've got this reputation now where they have more people applying than they can hire. So they are able to select the very best recruits now, which is a great position to be in. 6:50 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you work up an appetite by, you know, shooting the guns or working your way through the shoot house on a day, just saying, the Pounders Hawaiian Grill is a great place to go for your lunch, your dinner, for a special event, whatever. They have outstanding teriyaki chicken, teriyaki steak, Kahlua pig, garlic chicken. What you do is you pick how many meats you want, you know, how many servings of which kinds, and you can mix and match or do all of the same. I like to mix and match. My boys are like, just give me the teriyaki steak. And then you get scoops of rice or brown rice or white rice are both fantastic, macaroni salad, greens, cabbage, whatever on the side. They're all good. We used to always go to this place in Crestview. It's literally my boy's favorite restaurant in the area. We would stop there every time we go anywhere else in the state of Florida. When we're coming back on I-10, we'd always stop off in Crestview at Pounders. It's a little out of the way, but it's worth it. And I'd always ask them, when are you coming to Pensacola? And now they're here. They've been here for a couple of months. Great, fast, casual Hawaiian food. Excellent deal. The prices are very, very reasonable for what you get. They're not open Sundays or Mondays. They give their employees 2 days off as a break. But Tuesday through Saturday, have a good meal. Fantastic. In the University Mall, right across from Penny's or right across from Academy Sports in the old Dickey's barbecue location.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Big Game Fishing's 53rd Annual International Billfish Tournament is Thursday through Sunday. Check out the action downtown at Palafox Pier, afternoons 3 to 7. For more, see visitpensacola.com. The Perdido Key Chamber's Spill the Beans Community Conversations is Friday morning at Hub Stacy's at The Point, beginning at 7:30. This month will feature Florida Power and Light. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
$2 cash.
Good morning, 6:53 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Governor Ron DeSantis has declared a state of emergency in five southern Florida counties due to severe flooding. He said last night that an area of low pressure resulted in widespread heavy rainfall and consequential flooding in that area. Friends and family of a murdered soap opera actor demanding authorities do more to find his killers. Supporters of the late Johnny Wachter were marching yesterday in Los Angeles in front of their city hall demanding justice. Wachter was killed about 3 weeks ago when he came across a crew of thieves trying to steal his catalytic converter. And President Biden is in Italy today, joining other world leaders for the G7 summit. The world's seven wealthiest democracies have agreed to lend up to $50 billion to Ukraine. They say they'll be using frozen Russian assets as collateral.
Why would they focus on things that are frozen? Sorry.
What do I do? What do I do with that?
I mean, you know, it's just a bunch of rubles in a block of ice. I mean, I don't know why that's got to be a fixation for us, but, you know, whatever.
It's way more complex. You got to get the chisel and everything else to, before you can even give it out.
It's hard to extract them, for sure. All right, David, thanks so much for the update and for putting up with me. I always appreciate that. 6:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. What else do we have going on? We have a job opening for a talk show host, by the way. Let's see. Favor House, the first annual Favor House Roundup comes up June 21st. That's a week from tomorrow, 6 to 10 at the Escambia County Equestrian Center for basically a country hoedown kind of fun time. If you want more information about that or fundraising for the Favor House, a great charity, by the way, newsradio923.com. Of course, always Bands on the Beach every Tuesday. Next to Tuesday for Bands on the Beach would be, again, 12:11, which will be performing this time on 6:18. It's not as confusing as when they performed on 6:11. But 12:11 will be performing next week, 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. But on Brent and Olive Lane, we're seeing some delays in the northbound and southbound lane, so be prepared for that. Other than that, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, you remember when New York and the governor there was going to put in place the congestion pricing to charge you more to drive into the city at peak times as a way of alleviating the traffic jam and funding infrastructure that would improve capacity and rewarding rich people. I mean,
basically,
you know,
yes.
You're wealthy enough to come to Manhattan. That was kind of the idea. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has now announced that, we're not going to do that anymore. Not right. She says, my commitment to a greener, more sustainable future is unwavering.
But
to me, saying you're going to do a process and then not do a process sounds like wavering. But okay, fine. She says at a press conference, this is actually a week or so ago. Anyway, she says they're going to indefinitely pause. I think it's definitely pause. Sorry, I can't forgive. Anyway, the congestion pricing program, quote, I have been more committed to combating climate change and protecting our environment than any governor in our history. I'm not sure how, I guess congestion price, I guess if you can decrease congestion, you can decrease idling, you can cut back on, you know, terrible planet-killing emissions that these folks believe in. So, okay, fine. And, you know, improving air quality or whatever. I'm not sure it's really an overall climate change issue so much as a, you know, pollution, congestion, and all that kind of stuff. They were going to charge them $24 or $36 per trip to go into the city, which I guess in New York is probably, what, like a buck here? I mean, I don't know. The level of cost there is completely different. That was for trucks. Passenger cars would be $15 with lower rates for motorcycles and, you know, late nights and off-peak hours and all that kind of stuff. 437-1620, University of North Carolina. Kind of an interesting story. You know how for the longest time, all of these institutions were shifting to the left on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, race, gender, sexual liberation, all of that stuff. And then you started to get pushback from places like, you know, the great state of Florida, or from like the Bud Light protest, or, you know, sort of small indicators that not everybody was fully on board with all this. And part of the issue, of course, is that people on the left were much more willing to inflict a kind of economic punishment on anybody that they thought was not complying with their way, what I think is highly inappropriate in a free society. I don't think that you should punish people economically for the things that they disagree with you about when it comes to matters of what's supposed to be areas of tolerance, you know, religion and ethics and certainly race and gender. But the left has seen it differently, and they have been using their willingness to engage in economic, I'd say, leverage, okay, manipulation, coercion, very intolerant, intolerant things. I mean, if you're punishing somebody financially for believing something you don't believe, that's intolerance, right? So that's what they did for a long time, and conservatives never played this game. Well, now conservatives are playing this game a little bit. Hate to have to do it, but you see the value of playing it because now it's working. University of North Carolina is now changing. They have a new policy called Equality Within the University of North Carolina. Their Board of Governors voted last month to replace the current diversity policy, which required system schools to hire diversity officers and meet certain goals. And now they're eliminating those positions and diverting the funds to programs that support student well-being. So they are abandoning at UNC $2.3 million annually spent on DEI, and they're like, I think we can do something better with this money. So very interesting to see not just Florida anymore, but other states and other university systems going against
this. Listen on air at 92.